following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right, good morning, folks. Again. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I am the pastor here. And I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. We have, I think, at least, a special treat this morning. You're going to hear two sermons, right? Like that? Doesn't that sound super exciting? Abby, I know that you're pumped. It won't be two whole sermons, but my dad is, and my mom are here. My dad's going to preach with me this morning, so he's going to do the first part, and I'm going to do the second part, which is, it's a treat. It's a treat to be able to preach with my dad, and it's a treat to be able to prepare half a sermon. So it's Christmas. But I'm going to read our scripture for us this morning and then invite my dad up to talk about that scripture. So the first reading is from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. And then our second reading will be from John 1. So if you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you one. So Isaiah 52, verses 7 to 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into song of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And from John 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
It's always a treat to come here. Hope and I come, I guess we've come for the last couple of Christmases, and it's really been fun to be here. It's a great church to be part of, and you've made us feel very much at home every time that we come. It is exactly the kind of church I would love to be pastor of, but if I can't be your pastor, I'm glad my son is. You'd probably be more glad that he's your pastor than me anyway. But it's always fun to come at Christmas time as well. I am glad to learn that you celebrated on the 25th, just like we do in the States, because you got a little mixed up on Thanksgiving. But it's really to Eric and Erica's advantage because they get to celebrate Thanksgiving twice. So they eat lots of turkey. Let's just pray for just a moment. Lord, may the light and the joy of the season shine in our words, our thoughts, and our hearts today. Amen. The two texts that Eric just read are very, very different texts. The first one is really a prophecy. It's something of looking forward to what will be, but not necessarily initially to the birth of Christ, but to the return of the Israelites to Zion, to Jerusalem, when they come back home. And there's this real sense of joy, something that they had longed for during their whole exile, and now they were having, they were looking forward with a real sense of anticipation of what will be in the future. Isaiah is a very complicated book, and I'm far from a biblical scholar, and I'm not going to try to get into that, and I'd bore you to death if I tried to. But the bottom line is, and my understanding is, that the text clearly points to the return of the people to Jerusalem, to the place that they called home, to the place where they belonged, to the place where they really experienced God in a unique and a powerful way in Zion. It was an event that was anticipated, that they looked forward to for decades. Zion was their place. It was where they belonged. John, on the other hand, is a text that really explains, and I think somewhat in a pretty philosophical way, what has already happened in the coming of Christ, in the birth of Jesus in a manger. Luke gives us a very clear picture of what happened, sort of a historical account. John gives us this philosophical understanding of the God becoming man and the Word being with us. And so it delves a little bit more in the understanding of the universe and how Christ comes to us in a personal way. I'm going to spend most of my time in the text that really grabbed me this time around was the Isaiah text, because in Isaiah, again, Isaiah invites us to experience with anticipation. There's this experience of wanting to look forward to what will be. And sometimes in our world, I think it's easy for us to just live in the moment, and we forget about what will be for us as people of faith. I believe it is because that the Christ child, little baby Jesus, announces much the same thing the messenger does in Isaiah. The messenger announces good news. Good news. It's exciting news, but it certainly is good news. And salvation and the truth that God reigns. And isn't that exactly what the manger, with Jesus lying in it, also announces? Spiritually, we belong with Jesus Christ. Spiritually, we belong with Jesus Christ. He is our spiritual home. He is our spiritual home. And the invitation of Christmas is an invitation of sorts of coming back home to where we really belong, to the place where God has called us, and that is with Christ. The text says, listen, listen. Get your antenna up. Listen. Watch. See where God is calling you. The sentinels lift up their voices. Listen. The angels are singing. The sentinels see in plain sight the return of the Lord to Zion, their home, where they meet God and where they spend time with God. And the baby Jesus also is the sign that God has come to this place, to this world, and those whose eyes are open can see him in plain sight. And the world will break forth into singing. Angels sing, shepherds sing. We imagine Mary singing gently to her baby, the world's baby, the Savior. And we still sing as we anticipate what will be. I love singing here with you because there's a real sense of joy when we sing here. And Christmas is certainly, or the songs of Christmas are joyful songs, and they lift our spirits. When we see God's salvation in the imagination of our hearts, we can't help but be joyful. We can't help but be people of hope. It is what we anticipate. It is the truth we proclaim that Christ's salvation is ours. Jesus was born to save us. Jesus was born to invite us home to eternity as well. Jesus came to our home and calls us to come with him on the journey. The journey as he saves others and invites others to imagine in their hearts the glory that will be. We're just on the edge. We're outside, in a sense, looking in. We've experienced parts of it because we are alive and we have faith today, but it's going to be far better. We sing no matter what. That's the other thing that's unique. We sing as people of faith, even in the midst of the ruins of Jerusalem. We sing even when terrorists kill innocent people. We sing in the streets where people are starving. We sing in the cities that have been bombed. We sing not because of what is, because of the pain that goes on. We sing because of what will be. I listened to a podcast. One of my favorite podcasts is broadcast by National Public Radio in the States, called On Being. And the interviewer is a woman by the name of Krista Tippett. And she recently interviewed Martin Sheen. And he is a person of real faith and an actor. I assume that you've heard of them even up here. he was on his most famous role recently was in West Wing. But he talked about, he's been arrested over 60 times because of his strong commitment to social justice issues. And he would march, and he was, maybe somewhat controversial for many of us, but at the same time, deeply committed to what he did, and it came from his faith. And he talked over and over again in that interview that the foundation of what he did was the joy. That he did, even though the civil disobedience things that he did because of the joy in his heart. Not out of anger, but out of joy. And I thought that's a wonderful way to approach what we do and what we choose to do as people of faith. So we sing even in the midst of the pain that we see and we experience. I guess the question is, if we sing about what the future will be, how do we know what will be? Because when we invite Jesus into our lives, he comes to comfort us. He comes to let a light shine in our hearts. He opens our eyes and our hearts to what love is, what genuine love is, and what beauty is, and what peace is, and what hope is. I think the invitation of today's texts is to let the light shine in the darkness, not just in this season, but all throughout the year. I think that's the invitation of being Christmas people. Not just for a few days this time of year. We sing not only on Christmas or in the Christmas season. We sing every day because the message of Christmas is not just something for these days. The message of Christmas is timeless. I wonder sometimes why we put the candles in our windows away when the season is over. I'd kind of like to keep them up, Hope. Because I think we have to be careful, and we need to be reminded that we don't put Christmas away at the same time we put our decorations away. Because Christmas is something in here. Christmas is something in here. I've experienced some 65 Christmases, and every one is different. But every one has been an invitation to meet Jesus and experience his light once again. However, I need to be reminded daily that the Christmas message is not any less true on May 7th or September 13th or August 25th or any other day of the year or whatever date. For our own sake and for the sake of the world we live in, what would it be like if we sang every day? If I sang out loud every day, a lot of people might complain. But if I sing in my heart, what difference that might make in our world if we are truly Christmas people and joyful people? John 1, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. That's what it means to be Christmas people, to experience that. Lived among us, not just a few days a year. The Word pierced the darkness every day throughout our lives. What does it mean to be Christmas people? I think increasingly, it means to be increasingly tuned in to Christmas story every day. The job I have right now gets me up pretty early in the morning, and it's often dark. But it has allowed me to see some spectacular sunrises that I never would have seen if I was still in bed. It's as if creation is singing a song of salvation, a Christmas song. And so it makes my job a gift more than a drudgery, or at least on the days when I notice. I won't say that I never get up without complaining. But it's when I can be tuned in to the joy of creation, when I can be tuned in to the joy of Christ in my life, that even those darkest times when I gotta get up early and it's dark and it's cold and it's snowy and rainy, when I notice, I can experience joy. To be Christmas people is to find a reason to sing every day, to sing of God's salvation, to see the light of Christ piercing the darkness, to live filled with hope, to seek opportunities to be peacemakers, to share the good news of Christ's love. That's what Christmas people do. Amen.
As Erica and I were driving to church this morning, turned on the radio, and I can't for anything remember the song that was playing, but Erica's immediate comment was, well, it's back to normal. See, this was a radio station that for certainly weeks, maybe months, had been playing Christmas music. And here we are, just 2 days after Christmas, and those Christmas songs are done on the radio. Even before listening to what my dad preached, even though he sent it to me ahead of time so that I could read it and sign off on it, it felt weird, right? It felt weird. It felt fast that these Christmas songs were already off the radio. And maybe because I knew we would be singing them today, but for weeks now we've been leading up to Christmas, walking through Advent in anticipation of the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus. And now that he's here, that he's born, 2 days later, we're moving on to the next thing or to the next season or going back to normal. I read a poem yesterday that one of my pastor friends from Boston posted on her Facebook. It's from a theologian, a chaplain, and a poet. He's actually one of the most well-known African-American pastors in all of U.S. history, named Dr. Howard Thurman. And he put this poem in a book of sermons about Christmas that's now in my Amazon wish list. But it's called Now the Work of Christmas Begins. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. Now the work of Christmas begins. Dr. Howard Thurman gives us in this poem a glimpse of what this Christmas work is. My dad talked a little bit about what this Christmas work is. And so for me, for today, for right now, I want to boil it down to a couple of things, this Christmas work. Christmas work is about being in and amongst people, and it is about love. In Eugene Peterson's The Message, he translates John 1:14, and you've probably heard this. I think I've even shared this with you before. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Almost 2 months ago, we had our breakthrough weekend. And there we talked about visionary initiatives that we as a church family are excited about and that we feel God leading us into. And we committed to 6 initiatives, and 2 you've actually already heard about this morning. But one thing that was real clear to me throughout all of these is that we together have and feel a desire and feel God's call for us to follow the example of Jesus and to move into the neighborhood. We hear and feel and see the need for us to be more present in South Surrey and White Rock, in our neighborhood, to share the love and the joy of Christ with our neighbors, both with the neighbors that are here now, who may not know us as well as we would like, or maybe as well as we should, and the neighbors who are on their way, neighbors who will soon call White Rock and South Surrey home, immigrants and refugees, younger families moving out of the city, etc. Last week, you heard about a third visionary initiative. And this past week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we had a VBS here, a Christmas VBS. I was holed up in my office, both a little bit out of fear of the chaos that it sounded like was coming from this room, but also because there were 3 days in which to write a sermon and a half, and so I was holed up in my office. But I peeked my head in here from time to time, and what I saw was really amazing. I saw different generations of people from Emmanuel, parents, grandparents, teens, young adults, all caring for the little boys and girls who came to have fun, to hear about the Christmas story, and perhaps to give their parents a chance to do some last-minute Christmas shopping. Some of the children who came already have church homes, but some don't. For some, this was a first, or maybe a second, or a third introduction into who Jesus is. It was beautiful, and it was really exciting. And it was a way that we had moved into the neighborhood in a real and meaningful and tangible way. It was an opportunity to build some relationships that will help us as a church body learn and serve our community more and more, and then allow us to more confidently share the love and the joy of Christ with those that we know. And so the other thing that I told you about Christmas work is that it is about love. And both of these things go hand in hand, even more so than I'll get into today. I'll get into it a lot more next week. But Christmas is about love. But not necessarily love like you and I know it or talk about it mostly, but love the way that God demonstrates it throughout Scripture. And so over the next 4 weeks, throughout the month of January, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about love. And we're going to talk about love the way that God demonstrates it in Scripture. Because that's the love that we have to know, and that's the love that we have to share. The world's definition of love looks at times very different from the way that God demonstrates this real love through Scripture. And if we're going to stand out as Christmas people, we have to talk about a love that God demonstrates. We have to show a love that God demonstrates. And really, we have to love the love that God demonstrates all through Scripture. And I'm really excited. This was the one that I told you last week that I was looking looking ahead to, and now I'm sort of in that middle ground of I can tell you about it because it's there next week. But I'm excited for us to dig into this. So how can we live as Christmas people this week and in all the weeks to come? I'd suggest finding out how you can be a part of one of our visionary initiatives, because really they're about being Christmas people. They're about sharing the love and the joy of Christ. And maybe the planning phase of it isn't for you. Maybe you're not a planner, maybe you're a doer. But be on the lookout for those opportunities to do within these initiatives. This week, maybe it means saying Merry Christmas a little bit longer than you would have, as much as a reminder to you that you're a Christmas person as it is to someone who might say on January 14th, why are you saying Merry Christmas? But boy, that would give a really good opportunity to talk about who Jesus is to you, wouldn't it? Maybe, and I think this is a great option, maybe it means joining our youth on Saturday and or Sunday as they chip trees. It's a great opportunity to be with and to show some of our youth the love and the care that we have for them. But it's also a really great way to meet our neighbors. Do you know that we have regulars who come here year after year after year to chip their trees? Because this is where they chip their trees. Like this is their tree chipping home. Which baffles me, because until I got here, I didn't know that that was a thing. We lived at a camp, and so I would haul mine out the back door and throw it as far into the woods as I could so that our maintenance guy wouldn't see it and get mad at me. They were still there a couple years later. But it was the woods, so it's okay. But what if this is the year? What if this is the year those regulars meet somebody that they connect with when they're dropping their tree off, and the next Sunday they're here for the first time, opening the Word of God and learning about who Jesus is, because they've connected with somebody new. Be a Christmas people this week and every week, celebrating and sharing the love and the peace and the joy that only comes through the one Messiah, Jesus Christ, born to us, born to you, and born to me. Gracious Lord, on Christmas Day, you came to us as Word, as light, as flesh. Teach us to know you so well that our lives may be a light in this world, the light that you would have us be. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.